John chapter 3, 17 and 18. So, of course, last week we spent our whole time on the most well-known verse in the Bible to Christians, John 3, 16. This carries on the theme. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So condemned already is our title. Lord bless us as we go to your word. Use it in our hearts and lives to teach and grow us. We want to please you. And Lord, we pray you'd meet with us and give us a special time of prayer as well. And commit the rest of the evening to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So notice the Bible says that Jesus was sent. It says God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Jesus was sent for a purpose. He was sent to save, as we've already seen in other scriptures, but even here, but that the world through him might be saved. So God sent the Son for the express purpose of saving man. Look at 1 John 4, if you would, and we'll see some more verses on this theme of God sending the Savior to save us. 1 John 4, 9. The Bible says, "And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." Now look at chapter 4, verse 14 of 1 John. "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." So notice this theme of God sent Jesus to save. And as we know, he was sent to save the whole world, as we've seen in previous scriptures in John 3. But remember over in chapter 1, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." And 1 John 2:2, "He's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." But he was sent to save. The Bible says, Luke 19:10, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus Christ was sent for a purpose, and that was to save. Look at 1 Timothy 1:15, if you would. 1 Timothy 1:15. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." So he came to save sinners. So the first part of this passage is that God sent Jesus to save. Now the second part of the passage explains how we get saved. John 3:18, which says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned." We must believe to be saved. And we saw that in verse 15. We saw that in verse 16 of John 3. And we're seeing it here in verse 18. It all comes down to believing or trusting. Believing on him, as it says here in verse 18. Jesus said in John 6:47, "He that believeth on me hath everlasting life." We must place our faith and trust on Jesus Christ. And notice it says, "is not condemned." Not condemned. John 5:24. This should be a praise the Lord moment for all of us. That because Jesus came to die and we believed on him, our condemnation has been removed. Praise the Lord. John 5:24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life." I show this verse to every person that gets saved because I want them to see they can never again be condemned for their sin, which is another part of our eternal security. If we could do our salvation, then again, we'd have to face condemnation again for our sin. And God says, we aren't condemned. It's gone. Condemnation's been removed through Jesus Christ. And that's not a temporary removal. It's a permanent removal. We've been given eternal, everlasting life. So, two great truths already. God sent Jesus to save the world. And when we believe on Jesus Christ, we're not condemned. But one of the main points of the passage is the last part of verse 18, which says, "He that believeth not is condemned already. Now, this is important. One of the questions I'm always asking the Awana kids to try to get it ingrained in their heads, the gospel, is what do you have to do to go to hell? And they've learned the lesson. Nothing. That's the answer. Nothing. We're condemned already. When we're born, we're condemned. Now, babies is a unique story, and we're not going to go into all that tonight. But we are born sinners, and we are condemned already. What do we have to do to be condemned? Nothing. We've already done it. We've been born a sinner, and we sin. It's not a chicken and an egg thing of, well, I'm a sinner because I sinned, or do I sin because I'm a sinner? Which is it? The answer is both, but primarily we're born sinners, and therefore we will sin. We start when we're babies, right? When we start lying to our parents and saying that we need picked up because we're very unhappy. It's very serious, but actually we just want to be picked up. But we imply through our screaming that something's wrong, and it never stops. Then we become, then we're able to speak, and then we lie, and then we lie, and then we lie. Anyway, what do we have to do to go to hell? Nothing. Mark 16:16. Turn back there. And this is an important truth from this passage, this phrase, condemned already. So notice Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Another word for condemned is the word damned. And then back to John 3 again. Look at verse 36 this time. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Praise the Lord. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So notice, what is going to result in the wrath of God abiding on someone? Not believing. Not believing on Jesus Christ. Essentially rejecting Jesus Christ. The Bible says, 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. No life. Dead. And of course, most of us know Revelation 20:15, whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. To avoid the lake of fire, you must have your name in the book of life. And the only person that can write your name in that book is the one who is life. Jesus Christ, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So this condemned already is important because this is not how the world sees it. Most people see it as some sort of a measuring or scale or whatever. They're going to get to heaven and God's going to weigh their good versus the bad. And hopefully the good will outweigh the bad and God will let them in. One of the devil's lies. Others believe that they don't really do bad. Not too bad anyway. Others think that if they could just do enough good, they will earn heaven. But none of that takes care of the sin problem, does it? Good doesn't wipe out bad or even outweigh bad. If we're bad, then we have to suffer the consequences of being bad. If we're sinners, we have to suffer the consequences of being sinners. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. And the only way that can be undone is through supernatural intervention, because we can't change the fact that we're a sinner. We can't undo that. So we need God to undo that. Amen? And when we get saved, that's exactly what he does. He takes our sins and puts them on Christ. He takes Christ's righteousness and puts it on us. He actually does perform something supernatural and makes us justified. The sins do get wiped by the blood of Jesus Christ. But we don't have the capability to do any of that on our own. It doesn't matter who we are, how rich we are, how powerful we are. If we do not believe on Jesus Christ, we are condemned already. If we do believe on Jesus Christ, as it said in John 5, we shall not come into condemnation. Condemnation is to be punished for our sin, which we just heard about in Revelation 20:15, to go to the lake of fire. Praise God for Jesus. Amen. That we are not condemned. The unsaved are condemned already. So let's tell them how they can be rescued from that fate. Let's pray. Thank you.